Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, welcome to the third life. Inshallah, we are going to explore and examine some of the traditions and information that we have about that very wonderful life. And there comes after it the fourth life, of course, and that is even heaven or hell. However, we have somehow compressed the fourth and the third life into one third life. But they are completely different from each other. You will see during the course of this lecture that the third life is completely different from what we will face in paradise, inshallah, and what the kuffar will face in hell. So it's something different, but we discuss all of them. The two worlds, the third and the fourth, together. Now, most of you, probably almost all of you were here when we were discussing the second life, that was the world of Barzakh, which is quite long compared to the short life that we have in this world. And we discussed about the different aspects of the life in Barzakh, the social order, the type of angels, the way we encounter them, and the different territories in Barzakh, different places of people, different types of lives, health, disease, and all these things that you may remember what we discussed about Barzakh. Now we come to a completely different world. The end of the Barzakh was when Israfil blew the trumpets. And that was, we said, it's a sort of shocking wave sound, which killed everything in this world, destroyed everything. And that included Israfil himself. He also died as a result of what he was ordered and commanded to do. And then there was complete blackout in the world. No living being was there when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transformed the Nash'atul Ula into Nash'atul Akhirah, the plane of dunya to plane of Akhirah. A complete change in the whole substance and quality of the world. And everyone was unconscious. Every intelligent being went out of their intelligence and consciousness because they couldn't have tolerated or endured that huge upheaval which was accompanying the transformation of the world from Nash'atul Dunya to Nash'atul Akhirah. Now everything has been prepared. The world is quite ready for the new life. As an example, if I want to give you an example, before we came to this world, when we were nothing, of course, Allah prepared this world. Even before creating human beings, Allah created everything, all seeds, plants, rain, sun, moon, clouds, everything which was needed. After everything was prepared, then Allah created human beings. And we came to this plane. Now the same thing happens with Nash'atul Akhirah. He takes away everyone. He prepares the world, that plane of Akhirah, and then everyone would come back. Now, the first of all creations who comes back to life from that long slumber, which we discussed how long it would take, according to some traditions, between the two trumpets. We had traditions saying that the period, the duration between the two trumpets are 40 days or 40 years, but most of the traditions talk about much, much longer time. And especially, we discussed about one tradition which we could not really imagine that duration of time. I don't know whether you remember or not that It was billions and billions and billions of years between the blowing of two trumpets when the world transformed from Nash'atul Dunya to Nash'atul Akhirah. Now, the first of all creations which comes back to life is Israfil, the angel who actually made everyone die, should make everyone live again. So everything would come back to life through him. He is actually the one who realizes the name Mumit of Allah, the one who makes die, makes everything die, and Muhi, the one who makes everything live. So he comes back to life, but he comes back to life by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give that trumpet to blow again. And that is a sort of means by which the whole life would come back. So he comes back. Of course, the Israfil which comes back is not the Israfil which died in Nash'atul Dunya. This is now the Israfil of Nash'atul Akhirah. As you remember, we said that all the angels would transform into a new sort of existence, having this new sort of existence. And this is the new Israfil, which much, much higher capacity. We will discuss, inshallah, tonight, why this world, this Nash'atul Akhirah, is totally different from what we experience, what we will experience, inshallah, in Barzakh. What we are experiencing now is, as we I said again and again, it's just warming up. We are just warming up for life. We are not living yet. We are just warming up for life. In Barzakh, we experience some sort of life, but that life is not comparable to this life. This Israfil, which comes back to blow into the trumpet, to make everyone come back to life, is completely a new creation. Just the example, you remember we gave the example of caterpillar and the butterfly. This is now the butterfly of Israfil, which has come back out of its cocoon, has grown to a new sort of life. So, he blows into the trumpets, as we have in many verses of the Quran. وَنُفَخَ فِي السُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ نُفَخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى. The trumpet is blown, everyone dies, and then there is another blow into the trumpet. فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. Then everyone rises, comes back to life. Now, of course, again, this is a process. You see, this one verse is covering billions and billions of years. نُفَخَ فِي السُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everyone dies. Then again it's blown. Well, this is after billions of years. But for Allah, time has no meaning. No place in the existence of God is there for time. Now, when this trumpet of life is blown, the life permeates everything. It's not only human beings who find life. Now everything finds life. Intelligence, consciousness, even the objects, the idols, especially the Quran talks about the idols which were worshipped by the idol worship. It says that they will come to life on that day. And they will speak. And they will testify that you were not worshipping them. You were worshipping nothing, actually. You were wasting your life. And they will swear that we did not know that you were worshipping us. And this is the most sort of disappointing situation that the Quran is mentioning, that after all these long lives that you spent in worshipping, dedicating yourself to these idols, on that day when they come back to life, when they not come back to life, when they find life, that's when the trumpet of life is blown, when they find life, when they can speak, when they can talk, and when they can think, then they realize that you were worshipping them while they didn't understand. Now, there are several verses of the Quran here talking about the idols finding intelligence on that day and speaking to people. Now, just a few examples. This is in Surah Ahqaf. وَمَنْ أَظَلُّ مِمَّنْ يَدْعُوا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مَنْ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ Who is more astray than him who invokes besides God such as would not respond to him until the day of resurrection? Now, on the day of resurrection, they respond. They will talk to them. Because they have come to life. And وَهُمْ عَنْ دُعَاهِمْ غَافِلُونَ They were quite oblivious of their invocation. However, وَإِذَا حُشَرَ النَّاسِ كَانُوا لَهُمْ أَعْدَاءً وَكَانُوا بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ And when mankind are mustered, they will be their enemies. This is very interesting. The gods that they were worshipping become their enemies because they hate these people who rejected the Almighty, which is the most magnificently apparent and clear on that day. And they were worshipping these idols, which they were quite unaware of. And they will disavow their worship. So this shows that these idols, which are specifically singled out in the Quran, as those who will find intelligence on the day of judgment. Now, another verse is in Surah Fatir. وَالَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِن قَتْمِيرٍ Those who you invoke besides him, they do not control so much as the husk of a day's stone. إِن تَدْعُوهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُوا دُعَاءَكُمْ If you invoke them, they will not hear you. And even if they heard, they cannot respond to you. And on the day of resurrection, they will forswear your polytheism. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكْفُرُونَ بِشِرْكِكُمْ They will deny this shirk. They say, we were not gods. You were worshipping nothing. In fact, that intelligence, as I said, this life, which is intelligence, permeates into them. And none can inform you like the one who is all aware. وَمَا يُنَبِّئُكَ مِثْلُ خَبِيرٍ Another verse, just the last one. وَيَرْمَا نَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا This is a very controversial verse actually because of this word فَزَيَّلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ Because many exegetes here have argued about the meaning of this زَيَّلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ Now I give some meaning which may be different from what you find in your translation. وَيَرْمَا نَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ نَقُولُ لِلَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا مَكَانَكُمْ أَنْتُمْ وَشُرَكَاؤُكُمْ The day when we gather them all together and we shall say to those who ascribe partners to Allah, stay where you are and your partners, your idols. Now, we bring them together, the idols and the idol worshippers. Now, we will speak later about why this will happen. This is very important. This world is the world, Barzakh was a world which we continue perfecting our soul and creation. This world is the world that we have to know out. And that's why everything that we have done, everything that we have thought, everything that we have even imagined would come to us so that we could realize who we are. That's why this is called Alamun Nafs. We'll discuss about it. We have Alamul Alam al-Dunya, this world, Alam al-Barzakh, and this is Alam al-Nafs, or Alam al-Qiyamah. And then we have the paradise and hell. So, here, and stay where you are, and your partners, مَكَانَكُمْ أَنْتُمْ وَشُرَكَاكُمْ Now, where you are, of course, is not referring to their physical place, to their position in their the degree in which they have been placed on that day, Then we remove veil between them. فَزَيَّلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ. This is what most of the exes have translated as then we separate between them. Which doesn't make much sense. I think this is the most sensible meaning. Then we remove veils between them. That means that then these two can communicate with each other. And their partners will say, it was not us that you worshipped. وَقَالَ شُرَكَاؤُهُمْ مَا كُنْتُمْ إِيَّانَ تَعْبُدُونَ. You were not worshipping us. So what were you doing? If you were not worshipping, if they were not worshipping them, what they were doing? Why they are saying you were not worshipping us while they were worshipping them? In fact, they are somehow disowning them in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because these idols themselves are very afraid. They have found intelligence and suddenly they realize that they were the object of worship. Now they say, no, we were not worshipping us. We were unaware of that. We were, وَكَانُوا بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ. Now, you are not worshipping us. فَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Allah suffices as a witness between you and us. We were indeed unaware of your worship. إِن كُنَّا عَنْ عِبَادَتِكُمْ لَغَافِلِينَ. Now, this is then refers to عَلَمُ النَّفْسِ. هُنَا لِكَتَبْلُوا كُلُّ نَفْسًا. Ma aslafat. This is where every nafs would examine itself. What they have said for themselves. This is alamun nafs. This is where the nafs would realize what they are. And I will discuss why we need to go through this. Why we need to go through alamun nafs. Why Allah would set up all these courts and witnesses and these things. Why he knows everything. And eventually he knows where we have to go. Why we have to go through this. Is this just an ordeal or what? Just a vain torture? No, certainly not. This is where we find ourselves. مَنْ عَرَفَ نَفْسَهُ فَقَدْ عَرَفَ رَبَّهُ. Whoever knows his soul. Of course, mostly we take it in this world. This world, of course, we can find a taste of that. Even the highest of urafa can find a taste of that ma'rifah. The true ma'rifah of nafs comes here, on the arena of the judgment day. So, هُنَالِكَ تَبْلُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا أَسْلَفَتْ وَرُدُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ مَوْلَاهُمُ الْحَقِّ وَضَلَّ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ. There, every soul will examine what is that sent in advance, and they will be returned to Allah, their real master, and what they use to fabricate will forsake them. Now, these were just examples to tell you, when that trumpet is blown, that's the breath of life. That breath of life permeates into everything. And everything finds life the way human beings had life. Now, you can imagine, if an object like a stone finds that kind of intelligence which talks about these concepts as worshipping, as me and as you, you were not worshipping me, if that object can find such an intelligence by that breath of life, you can imagine where human beings would go. Human beings who are intelligent in this world, and then, of course, get more intelligent in Barzakh. What type of intelligence will be blown into them when this breath of life by Israfil is blown into the world? You cannot imagine that, of course, because that world is totally different. Our capacity here is very, very limited. We cannot imagine what type of life we are going to have there. And, of course, by the same token, we never ever can imagine what is awaiting us in paradise. Never ever we can imagine that because the type of life is very different from here. Now, let's move on. We have a very difficult verse in the Quran. It has somehow made lots of controversies in terms of free will and predestination. كَمَا بَدَأَكُمْ تَعُدُونَ As he brought you forth in the beginning, so will you return. فَرِيقًا هَدَى وَفَرِيقًا حَقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ الظَّلَالَةِ A group he has guided, and a group is those who deserve to go astray. Now, usually under this verse, the exegetes have argued that this means that this hidayah and zalala, guidance and misguidance, is something that Allah has created before we come to this world. And the way He has created us, we go back. Some of us go to paradise, some of us go to hell. Now go into the verse 7, Surah A'raf, verse 29, and inshallah, when we will come, because I'm talking about this tafsir of Surah Al-A'raf, when we come to this, I will examine some of the traditions here that talk about the meaning of this verse as something which implies jabr, that we are not the free people that we think. Allah has created us, al-mu'minu mu'minun, في بطن أمه السعيد سعيد في بطن أمه والشقي شقي في بطن أمه If you are سعيد, if you are guided, you have been guided before. Even in the womb of your mother, you were guided. And if you are شقي, miserable, you didn't have any guidance, you didn't have it from before. However, of course, the traditions which have come under this verse apparently have been somehow stitched into it. This doesn't mean that. كَمَا بَدَأَكُمْ تَعُودُونَ The way He created you. The way He started creating you. بَدَأَ means to start to create. The way He started to create you, you will return. Now, what is the meaning of this? The way He started to create you, you will return. Because we are not talking about return, returning to God. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرَجَعُونَ You will return to God. What does this mean? What does it mean when you will return to God? Are we away from God? Has Allah sent us somewhere that, and He's just taking us back? Now, there is a deep meaning to this. I just give you one example. Of course, do not compare God with us. But this is the most tangible meaning that we can understand from this verse. كَمَا بَدَأَكُمْ تَعُودُونَ The way He started you, you return. And of course, the complement is very important. فَرِيقًا هَدَى وَفَرِيقًا حَقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ الضَّلَالَةِ Means some would not return the way they have to return. Now what does this mean? Suppose you want to make something, a car. You want to make a car, okay? You have the factory, you have all the means, but what you need first, before everything, what you need is the concept. The concept. That's the most important. If you don't have the concept, that's the most important, the most important planning in every invention is conceptual planning. You have to have a concept. Then you have to move and proceed to realize that concept. Now, you start from a concept and that concept is perfect. You want a car, for example, with such and such a speed, such and such color, working perfectly, immaculate, in your concept, in your mind. Okay? Then you start processing what is in your mind. You bring all the means, you bring the factory, bring workers, and material, everything, computer that has to calculate whatever you have in your mind, and eventually something comes out. But usually what comes out is not as you thought about it. It's less than what it is. what you thought. Because you cannot bring everything under your control. But anyhow, you make it. That's the meaning of the verse, niyatul, the hadith. Niyatul mu'min khayrun min amalih. Wa niyatul kafir sharrun min amalih. The intention of mu'min is better than what he does. Because you intend to do something good, but when you do it, it's not as good as you intended. Isn't it? And the intention of a kafir is more evil than what he does. Because he intends to bring such a havoc, but he cannot do it, of course. What he creates is less than what is in his intention. Now, the concept is very important. Now, Allah said here, what I understand of this verse, this of course is all understanding. What I understand of this verse is that Allah had a concept of us. Of course, Allah doesn't have concepts. We are talking human language, okay? Allah had a concept of what he wanted to create in paradise. And when we go back to him, we are exactly that concept. Because some people here say that what this verse means that Allah created us out of nothing, and then we go and we annihilate in his names, and we become nothing again. What's the use of it? Why Allah should do this? This is not the meaning of this verse. They say we will destroy, annihilate in the names from which we were created. Of course, this we will talk about this later, because every creature is created out of a certain name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why every creation goes back to that name from which it is created. A mosquito would go back to the name from it which it is created. But that doesn't mean that it would disappear. That doesn't mean that it will be destroyed. Some Sufis say this. They're absolutely wrong. Because there is no meaning for creation anymore. What it means is that, yes, we go back to that name. But not as concepts anymore. Because we have gone through this process of life. Growth. Perfection. And then we have come back to that name exactly the same as Allah wanted us to be. كَمَا بَدَأَكُمْ تَعُودُونَ. However, some of us fall. Some of us fall, and we have to go back later, of course. We have to go back for later. كَمَا بَدَأَكُمْ تَعُودُونَ فَرِيقًا هَدَى. Some he guides to that perfection. Of course, because they want to go through it. وَفَرِيقًا حَقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ الظَّلَالَةِ. Now, why some deserve ظَلَالَة? إِنَّهُمُ اتَّخَذُوا الشَّيَاطِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Because they took shayateen as their friends, and the shayateen took them away from their perfection to go back the way Allah had conceived for them to be. So, the whole issue of returning to God, going through this cycle, and usually the Urafa talk about a cycle of descent and a cycle of ascent. And then some of them say that means that we go back to the same place where we are not highlighted. No, the cycle is there so that the concept becomes reality. And you become as you were perceived to be. What Allah wanted you to be. So this is the whole purpose. We came to this life, we went to Barzakh, now we have come to this Alamun Nafs. And we are now very close, very close. This Alamun Nafs also is Alamun Liqa. You remember we talked about Liqa Allah, meeting with God. Now here, that meeting is possible. We'll talk about it later. That meeting the Lord is now possible. Why? Because man arafa nafsahu, faqad arafa rabbahu. Whoever knows his nafs would know his Lord. And this is where everyone would know his nafs. This is where everyone is given the capacity of nafs. And this is another verse in Surah Anbiya. كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُهُ. the way we created, the start of creation, we return it, wa'adan alayna. This is a promise binding on us, that indeed we will do that, and we will return it. And this promise is a good promise. We shouldn't be afraid of that. We should be afraid if Allah leaves us in the middle of the way and say, just go. I don't want you to come back. I don't want you to complete your perfection. Now, let's talk about human beings. As we said, everything would have this cycle of return, and everything would come to intelligence. But now we are talking about human beings. We are not talking about angels, jinn, or whatever, or objects, plants, trees. We are talking about human beings. On their wakefulness, they find themselves in their graves in new bodies. Now you say, what is the meaning of graves? Everything is destroyed, isn't it? فَإِذَا نُفَخَ فِي الصُّورِ نَفْخَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ فَدُكَّتَا دَكَّةً وَاحِدَةً. The earth and mountains will be pounded in a way that it's no more the same earth. Is it? It's no more the same earth. وَإِذَا يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ. The earth will be a different earth. وَالسَّمَوَاتِ. And the heavens will be different. So what's the meaning of graves? Yes, the graves will be there. Of course, not the way we understand it, as something which keeps the traces of human dust. Human dust is distinguishable from other dust on that day, as we have in some traditions. Everything is now dust. The mountains even, كالإحنا المنفوش. Is like the carded wool, even the mountains. So what about the earth, the dust, the soil? However, although everything is dust, but human dust is something which could be distinguished by those who want to recreate this man. Now, of course, just imagine you were in your spiritual body for thousands of years in Barzakh. And then you went unconscious. And suddenly you come back to consciousness, you find yourself in your body again. And not only in your body, but under the dust in your grave. This is very amazing. This is very amazing for the soul which comes back to consciousness. Just like if you come back to consciousness and you find yourself somewhere else, somewhere different from where you lost your consciousness. And here, of course, يَقُولُونَ أَإِنَّا لَمَرْدُودُونَ فِي الْحَافِرَةِ أَإِذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا نَخْرَةِ قَالُوا تِلْكَ إِذًا كَرَّةُ الْخَاسِرَةِ. They will say, are we being returned to our graves? What is this? After, when we have been decayed bones, of course, the soul in Barzakh could realize that. Now, then the kuffar will say, this then is a ruinous return. If this is true, then we are done. If this is true, we are done. The prophets were truthful. This is the day of judgment. This is when we have to stand before our Lord. This is a ruinous return that we are going to have. So, the first thing is bewilderment. Everyone. Except, of course, the few who were from Awliya Allah, those whom we said that have the support of angels and would go directly to paradise afterwards. They know that they are going to paradise. They are not bewildered. They are الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَالْإِيمَانِ, those who are given knowledge and faith. In the verse we have, وَيَوْمَ تَغُومُ السَّاعَةُ يُقْسَمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ مَا لَبِثُوا غَيْرَ سَاعَةٍ. When this happens and life comes back,
The mujrimun would swear it was just 1 hour
between when we went unconscious in barzakh and when we have come back to life.
وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَالْإِيمَانَ لَقَدْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْبَعْثِ.
Now, apparently there are some people who know. Those who are given knowledge and faith, they will say, no, you were in the book of God. In that place that you were preserved until the day of resurrection. And this is the day of resurrection. There are some people who have knowledge, but mostly, of course, people are bewildered. Now, they have two bodies, both of which they can use to see the different worlds, the spiritual body and the physical body. You remember, we said that when we die, our spiritual body leaves our physical body, and we go to barzakh, and our physical body decays and goes. Now, the souls come back, and they have two bodies, just like this world. We have a spiritual body, we have physical body. However, when we are in this world, we cannot use both. We only use the physical body. When we go to barzakh, we only use the spiritual body. When we come here, we use both bodies, physical body and spiritual body. Now, the angels only have spiritual body. So which one is better, humans or angels? Of course humans, because the things that they experience is more. They can experience the physical world, which the angels cannot experience. So they now have a higher position. And whatever Allah says about people being raised blind, deaf, dumb, is not referring to their physical body. They have eyes, they can see. It refers to their spiritual body. They don't have spiritual eyes, they don't have spiritual ears on the day of judgment that Allah talks about. And of course, they have something else. We cannot call it a body, but another faculty. And that is the knowledge of nafs, which is given to them, not in barzakh, because there is no capacity as such in barzakh, not in this world, which is very limited. In that realm, they are given that capacity to explore their soul. This is the quality of nafs. Now, each of these bodies are unique to the owner of it. Now, in this world, we know our physical body is unique. I mean, no two bodies are the same. No two fingerprints are the same. No two eyes are the same. That's why you can use all this technology of iris and these things in airports. You just show your eyes and you come in. I don't know if you have used it or not. We with foreign passports use it. We just show our eyes and come in. Because every person's eye is different from another person. Your hair is different. How? Because our DNAs are different. Now, your spiritual body, your physical body is unique. And this uniqueness remains. And this is what is actually alluded here in the verse in Surah Qiyamah. أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَلَّنْ نَجْمَعَ إِذَامَهُ بَلَىٰ قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُصَوِّيَ بَنَانَهُ. Does man suppose that we shall not put together his bones? Yes, indeed. We are able to proportion even his fingertips. Again, when your physical body is created, in the grave, your fingertips, your unique qualities are created by that. Now, how the physical bodies are, well, something is dropped here, created. How the physical bodies are created. Now, we said we are all dust. We are scattered. How did the bodies are created? The bones, Allah speaks about the bones, collecting it. Will the bones remain after that upheaval? بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَنْ أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَلَّنْ نَجْمَعَ عِظَامَهُ. Does man think we do not collect his bones? Which bones? It's all pounded. If the mountains are pounded and are like carded wool, what about human bones? Now, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, إذا أراد الله عز وجل أن يبعث الخلق أمطر السماء 40 صباحا فاجتمعت الأوصال ونبتت اللحوم. When Allah decides to bring back the people, the sky rains for 40 days. On that, the joints come together and the flesh sprouts. Now, this is a very special rain. This is not the rain, like the rain that we experience here. The rain that we experience here make the plants to sprout. Trees, seeds. The rain of Qiyamah makes the flesh to sprout. Human flesh. That sounds very magical, isn't it? Rain comes and flesh and bone is created out of that, is sprouts out of the earth, something like that. Just imagine that, it's, you know, standing and rain is coming and after several days you see human beings are sprouting out of the ground. Of course, it's not like that, but almost, it's like that. This is a life-giving rain. And this is something which is reiterated in the Quran again and again. That in the same way that the plants would grow, you will grow on the day of judgment. Now, one example, this is only one example in Surah Qaf. وَنَزَّلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً مُبَارَكًا. From the heavens, we send down salubrious water. A water which is full of barakah. Isn't it? This water is full of barakah, isn't it? It's a magical liquid. This rain is magical liquid. Everything goes green with it. Every plant comes out. This is magical water. Salubrious water with which we grow gardens and the grain which is harvested and tall date palms with regularly set spots as a provision for servants. Of course, Allah has wrote different examples of how different plants come out of the same water, the same drops, and with it we revive a dead country. Likewise, will be rising from the dead. كَذَلِكَ الْخُرُوجِ. That is the way you will come out of your graves, with the rain. كَذَلِكَ تُبْعَثُونَ. يا أيها الناس إن كنتم في ريب من البعث من سورة حج فإنا خلقناكم من تراب then at the end is وترى الأرض حامدة فإذا أنزلنا عليها الماء اهتزت وربت إن الذي أحياها لهو يحيي الموتى something like that. So you see the earth is dead and when drops of rain falls on it, you see, it swells. This is exactly the same explanation given in traditions about the Day of Judgment. The earth swells and fleshes come, sprouts out of it. اهتزت وربت, it swells. And وأنبتت من كل زوج بهيج. Every plant, very beautiful plant will come out of it. So, maybe I'll mix a couple of verses together. Anyhow, that's what Allah wants to say. When I want to repeat, of course, what He says, I have to somehow change it, isn't it? Now, what's the difference between the two rains? The rain that here we have, out of which the plant sprouts, would shoot, plants shoot, sprout, and the rain from which the flesh of human beings sprouts. Both of them are rain of life. It brings life. However, there is a difference, and the difference is that When that rain comes on the day of judgment, you don't see trees and plants coming out because there's no need for that. Yet, you find that in paradise. What you will find is human beings. You will find forests of human beings actually rising out of that rain. Now, similar accounts are given in Sunni Hadith. عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ ثُمَّ يَأْمُرُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ السَّمَعِ. This is so frequent in our traditions that one cannot doubt, because it's supported by the Quran as well. This is the way the bodies will be formed on the day of resurrection. ثُمَّ يَأْمُرُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ السَّمَاءَ أَن تَمْطُرُ فَتَمْطُرُ 40 يَوْمًا حَتَّى يَكُونَ الْمَاءُ فَوْقَهُمْ 12 ذِرَاعًا. Then Allah, the Glorified, commands the sky to rain. It rains for 40 days until the water rises 12 ذِرَاع above them, like about 6 meters. Now, of course, 12 and 40 are the numbers which denote multitude. We don't know really whether these are exact numbers, or they want to allude to magnitude of the length and the size. Then Allah commands the bodies to sprout. Exactly the word sprout is used. فَتَنْبُتْ كَنَبَاتِ الْتَرَاسِيسِ أَوْ كَنَبَاتِ الْبَقْ. And they sprout like sprouting of vegetation until their bodies are complete. No. This is before your soul comes back to consciousness. Then after this is complete, your soul will come back into it. When you come back into consciousness, you find yourself in this body. So this is still when life hasn't come back to the soul. Now, this sprouting may be from one single cell or whatever remains from every human, because not all our cells would remain. We would be somehow lost in different bodies, probably. However, the traditions tell us that no matter what, one single cell from every human would remain. Of course, more may remain. And we'll talk about what happens to those remains. However, one single cell would not be destroyed. Let's look at this, and then we go back to that long hadith, which I have not written the translation of it. Now, the tradition, this is from the Prophet, peace be on him, in Sunni traditions, but we have the same in Shia traditions as well. يَأْكُلُ التُّرَابُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا عَجُبُ ذَنَبِهِ مِثْلَ حَبَّةِ خَرْدَلٍ مِّنْهُ تَنْبُتُونَ. The earth may eat everything from human body. يَأْكُلُ may eat means may destroy. May just disintegrate. Your cells may disintegrate. The earth may eat everything from human body, but the end of the spinal cord, like the size of a mustard seed. Now, of course, size of a mustard seed was an example given for very, very small objects, like atoms or something like that. Well, they didn't have the idea of atom. Even when they wanted to talk something smaller than zarra, zarra, of course, means atoms. More than that, they would have said mustard seed. Like the size of a mustard seed from which you shall sprout. Now, amazingly, I was reading something that according to some studies, the chromosomes at the end of the spinal cord cannot be destroyed by any means. And I was reading a Chinese study. I don't know, you may make some more investigation in this. That's neither by burning nor by crushing. Nor by any means, the highest type of heat, this end of the spinal cord, the cells, are very, very difficult to destroy. It doesn't come to destruction. Now, I don't know what the scientific studies may come to in future, or whether these studies are correct or not. However, what we have in tradition is that somewhere like there is a cell which cannot be destroyed of every human being. And that is your seed, so to speak. We have seed for plants, for trees and these things. That is human seed. And that human seed will sprout one day when that rain of life comes to it. Now let's go back to the long tradition before. It's a very nice tradition. This is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Hisham ibn al-Hakam, rahmatullah alayh, the big theologian, Hisham ibn al-Hakam. He says, "Qala zindiq al-Sadr," the atheist, was arguing with Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And he said, sorry that I haven't translated this, I didn't get time to translate this, but we go through it just for 5 minutes, and then we'll have question and answer. Or should we leave it for next week? I translate it and... Better? Okay. Fine. So now we come to questions and answers. Yes. We know, no, certainly we cannot be one of them. the traditions say that they are eight, but they disagree whether they are eight angels or eight human beings. The Shi'i traditions say that they are eight human souls, and that is four from the old people, the ancients, and four from the posteriors. The four from the ancients are Ibrahim, Nuh and Ibrahim and Musa and Isa alayhi salam. And the four from the posterior are Muhammad, Ali, Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam. These are the eight souls which would not go unconscious, which could endure the whole transformation, and which would carry the arsh, so to speak. وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٍ. On that day, the arsh will be carried by eight. As I said, the eight, in Sunni traditions, we have that there are eight angels. In Shi'i traditions, we have that there are eight people. No, this is not that death. On the day that hearts die is day of judgment. When, of course, hearts die of fear, of horror and these things. And, of course, of blindness, when the hearts die of blindness. Any other question? Yes. Yeah, where is your clothes? When you sprout out of the earth, where is your clothes? It is, however, the people would not notice anything. On that day, when everyone is engaged and preoccupied with their destiny, no one would notice that. And of course, we have for mu'minun, there is some light which covers their bodies. That's of course their dignity and their respect. But other people wouldn't have respect, so they just are naked. Yes. Not certainly the same age, because the aging, of course, would be affected by our life in Barzakh. And the way we live there, the way we grow there. How the size, I don't know what size we will be. Yeah. Any else? Okay, I think that's the end of it.